Guys, if you would, turn to Numbers chapter 27. We're going to go through the whole chapter tonight. Then the daughters came of Zelophehad, and the daughters of Hepher, and the son of Gilead of Machir, the son of Manasseh, from the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. These were the names of his daughters. And there's some beautiful names, and I'll leave them at that. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders of all the congregation, by the doorway of the tabernacle of the meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin, and he has no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family, because he has no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of the inheritance among their father's brothers, and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son," bless you, "then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the relative closest to him and his family, and he shall be his possess, and he shall possess it, and it shall be to the children of Israel a statute of judgment, just as the Lord commanded Moses." Remember, the new generation is going forward. We've entered a new section in our study of the book of Numbers. We left the old generation, a generation that was counted but cannot be counted on. They refused to enter the promised land because of their unbelief in God. They chose the wilderness instead of God's promises. But before we move on, let's look at four groups that the Lord paid attention to in the previous chapter just one more time. Remember, the first group was a couple of guys who rebelled. And you remember that whole incident with Korah. You can check that out in Numbers 26, 9 through 11. The reason why we're looking at these groups again is because in the census, in the new census of the new generation, the Lord specified some folks from the previous. Okay, He kind of named some folks out. The second group was a couple of guys who defiled, and they were Aaron's sons. And you remember they went down there with their incense, and they did their thing. And then finally, the third group was a generation of unbelief. And really, they just perished. The Lord mentioned those as well in Numbers 26, 63 through 65. But the fourth group was a couple of exceptions. And they were a group of 100%ers. And you guys know who those exceptions were. Except Caleb and who? They were Caleb and Joshua. So posing the same questions last week, out of the four groups mentioned, which group do we want to be a part of? The group that rebelled? The group that defiled? The group of unbelief? Or do we desire to be an exception? Just a group of folks who believe the Lord. A group of folks who looked at promises instead of giants. And if you think about this, a lot of times God's promises are seen amidst the giants. Okay? Think about that for a minute. See, guys, God's promises are usually in the midst of the giants we see. And understand this as well. The Lord did not love the group of exception any more than the other groups, because remember, he took very good care of the folks in spite of their unbelief. It says in Nehemiah 9:21, 40 years he sustained them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their feet didn't swell. The Lord took very good care of them while they were wandering in circles. The Lord loved them. He took care of them. But remember, as we are looking at this picture in Scripture, Canaan is not a picture of heaven, but rather a picture of believers' inheritance in Christ in the heavenlies. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." We should never act like a pauper. I mean, the reality that we're the bride of Christ, the reality that we've been purchased by Jesus' blood should overwhelm us. And yet, sometimes we, like the old generation, the children of Israel that refused to go into their inheritance, we choose to just kind of wander around in the promised land and just kind of be sustained when the Lord has so much more for us. See, a whole generation died, never saw the land. The 10 spies saw the land for 40 days and died in unbelief. Only Joshua and Caleb and the new generation went into the land and claimed their promised inheritance. So which group do we want to belong to? I think all of us desire to be in an exception, in the exception group. And the exception group, okay, understand this, it's just folks who believe the Lord. Oh, wow, there's giants. Oh, wow, the cities are fortified. But God said we can go do this thing. God said this. Let's go do it. Isn't that what glorifies God when people take Him at His word and just go? In other words, they're flexible to the Lord's leading. They desire to please the Lord. And I think at the end of the day, all of us in this room desire to please the Lord. Now listen to what Jesus said about being flexible and about being full. Luke 5:37-38. No one puts a new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine is burst and the wineskins are spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. See, guys, you can't put new wine into an old hardened wineskin. When new wine begins to ferment, what happens? It swells and then it bursts. It's not the wineskin's not flexible. Those things were very expensive back then, so they didn't buy them. So what they would do is they would put them, they'd take them under running water and run them and make them flexible again. See, we see some of the same things in churches or in believers. They become hard. They become inflexible. The Lord's not going to fill them up. We need to remember that. The Lord is always desiring to do a new work of the Holy Spirit in every one of us in this room. But He will not put new wine into old wineskin. And a hard wineskin is nothing more than religion going through the motions. Not a relationship. Not a vibrant relationship. Saying, hey, let's go over there and let's do what the Lord's asking. And relationships being open to what the Lord is wanting to do. So how do we stay flexible? You know, I used to be real flexible when I was younger. And I found that now that I'm a little older, I'm not as flexible. And you know, it wasn't a few months ago, I was feeding the dogs early in the morning. I felt like I pulled my hamstring bending down there. It was cold. You know, I was limping around the rest of the day. You know, when I was young, I mean, I could bend and do this and do that. And you know what? You know, how should I stay flexible? Well, I need to stretch a little bit, don't I? Okay, well, we can't really do that with being a new wineskin. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word just like they used to take their old wineskins and keep them flexible and take them down there to running water and run them and keep, you know, make them malleable. We need to wash ourselves in the Word and not just make it about a Bible study, but really say, I mean, think about this. The Lord, listen to what the Lord says in Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, His precious bride, the bride of Christ. That's what happens, really, when we open our Bibles and we partake of this bread of life. We should be getting washed. We should be getting renewed. Jesus is taking such great care of us. Guys, as the years go by, let us stay soft so we can be filled continually with a new work of the Holy Spirit to overflow, to be a blessing to another soul. And does this not sound like a soft wineskin ready to be filled back up in Psalm 92:12-15? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Now, I'm not singling out the folks that are older and calling them old wineskins. Okay? But Dave did smile and maybe he thinks he is. My point is this. Being an old wineskin is not necessarily constituted by the age in which someone lives. You can be an old wineskin and be 18 years old. You know a lot of old wineskins at 18 years old, do you not? They think they've seen it all. They think they've heard it all. They think they've got it all figured out. And then they find out they don't. Some folks get saved and that's as far as they seem to go. They don't go into the inheritance. Here's a few lines from an old hymn. And I think it was written by a soft wineskin, a heart that was just overflowing. Jesus' love that sought me when I was lost in sin, wondrous grace that brought me back into His fold again, of heights and depths of mercy far deeper than the sea and higher than the heavens, my theme shall ever be. be. So let's be like Caleb, Joshua, and the new generation. Let's stay soft and flexible. Let's take the Lord at His word and just move forward with Him. What an exciting thing the Lord has called us to when you think about it. So let's look at this, verse 1 through 11. New problems are nothing more than new opportunity to see the heart of the Lord, His faithfulness, His great care, His great grace towards His people. So let's read this again. Then the daughters of... Here, Joan, you said the name right earlier. That sounds good. We'll call him Ozelo, the son of Ohep, the son of Ogil, the son of Omak, the son of Manasseh. From the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and these were the names of his daughters, and we just say they said these beautiful names. Yeah, Hogla. Hey, who are you seeing? Who are you engaged to, old Hogla there? Yeah, she's a beauty. Old Hogla. We're going to name our daughter Bertha. No, okay, I got to stop. Okay, that's okay, old Hogla. That's pretty. Lord, forgive us for jesting at these wonderful ladies of faith we're about to look at. But with a name like Hogla, you've got to have great faith. No, I'm kidding. Really. And they stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders of the congregation by the door, the way of the tabernacle, the meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness. But he was not in the company of those who were gathered together against the Lord in the company with Korah. But he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among the family because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." Here's the problem. These five young ladies died in the wilderness. He was part of the old generation, the generation of unbelief. Here's the problem. This guy had no sons. He only had girls. And it was in the normal order of things that the inheritance would be passed on to the son. Now, the girls were provided for by a dowry that the son-in-law would bring, and it would either be money, furniture, clothes, etc., whatever. And in a sense, this would also help provide for them if their husband or whatever were to pass away. Okay, just a little culture information there. Now, all that aside, what can we learn from these ladies? Well, number one thing, I think they know where to get some answers. Who Googles stuff? You know, Google. You know, my son, you guys remember when you were in school and you had to write a report? What did you have to go do? You had to go to the library. You had to get the encyclopedia. You had to make cliff notes and all that other, or not cliff notes, but footnotes. You remember the little book and all the stuff? Now, what's it like now? Google, you know, boom, right there. Okay, you know, now I know some profs, they don't accept, you know, internet sources as really resources. And that's why, right, because not everything in Wikipedia is correct. No, but I do, you know. You know, I mean, we are blessed we have easy access. We don't have to go to the library. We don't have to look up stuff. We don't have to know how to use the Dewey Decimal System. I want to ask you, from a biblical standpoint, where are we getting our answers? Do we know where to get our answers? These ladies did. Let's go down to the tabernacle of the meeting, and let's ask Moses and the leaders, the guys that the Lord had set up for leadership, the guys that the Lord said, okay, these are my men. And not only that, they're going down to the tabernacle, the place where the Lord's what? Tabernacling with His people, right? They're seeking the Lord is what I'm getting at. They're stating their case to the Lord. And I want us to understand something. Seeking the Lord is never a waste of time. Matter of fact, it saves time. How many of us in this room? How many of us in this room have done this? Okay, I'm going to seek the Lord. Okay, I already know. I made my mind up before I was going to seek the Lord, and I think this is what He wants me to do. We go in that direction. The wheels come off the cart, and we end right back up where we started. Has that happened to anybody before? Liars. Give glory to God and tell the truth. saves time. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 4 says, O God, you are my God, early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power, your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Lord, I'll seek you early. I'm not going to wait. You're not my last option. Lord, I'm going to seek you early. Number one thing, they know where to go. Okay, understand their situation. No brothers. No inheritance. And we're going to see something pretty interesting here in a minute, but just kind of think about that for a moment. Number two, they are bold in trusting the Lord with the answer, whatever that answer may be. Because at this point, they're going by the normal culture standards. And understand this, wherever Christianity has flourished, women's rights have excelled. The Lord has done more for women's rights than any institution. And you just look at Ephesians chapter 5. I mean, come on. They're trusting the Lord. They're bold. They're seeking Him for the answer. And they're trusting whatever that answer may be. Even if it says, you know what? Sorry. Psalm 27, 13 through 14 said, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would have lost heart unless I wouldn't have seen it when I was living. Okay? So two things right here. They know where to go to get some answers. They're bold and they're going to trust the Lord. And not only that, they're going to trust Him with whatever answer He decides to give. That's pretty bold too as well, if you ask me. And number three, and here's the kicker. Man, they're women of great faith. Let's don't even look at the obvious, the custom of the day. Who the inheritance was to go to. Let's look at their geographical location right now. These ladies are already talking about their dad on the land. Okay, that's the difference between this generation and the generation that didn't go into the land. Don't look past that. Hey, we want to know about our dad's land. Who's going to get it? We think maybe we ought to get it. They haven't even stepped foot over there yet. The giants are still there. The fortified cities are still there. What about our dad's land? Five awesome ladies, even if one of them's named Hogla. What about our dad's land? That's biblical faith. That's not comfortable faith. Comfortable faith is what we're comfortable with. Okay, biblical faith, Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Verse 6, same chapter, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's incredible what these ladies did. You know, I've read through this numerous times. But this is the first time that the Lord really grabbed my heart and said, hey, this is not just something about some inheritance laws and this and that. Look at what's going on. Look at what these ladies are doing. Man, they know where to get the answer. They're bold. They're going to trust the Lord, even if it may be the answer they don't want to hear. And look at their great faith. They're talking as if they're dead on the land. St. Augustine said this once, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of faith is to see what you believe. Look at this now. This is even more amazing. And I think it's another picture of a soft wineskin, not a hard wineskin, but a soft wineskin. So what does Moses do? So Moses brought their case before the Lord. Okay, Moses has been doing his job now for how long? Long time. Dude, straight up 100 and what? Almost 120 years old now? He started this job when he was 80? You would think, what has all Moses seen? I mean, let's not even, before he even got called to do this gig right here, what was he? I mean, come on, look at Moses' life. Basket, palace, He was learned in all the Egyptian. I mean, he had a place of prominence. Okay? He's an educated dude. Now look at this. 40 years on the backside of nothing. He's been taking care of sheep. He sees what? This burning bush. The Lord speaks to him and all this stuff. Not to mention what he saw happen in Egypt. Not to mention what he saw this past 40. And Moses does what? Well, you know, the custom is, sorry. Moses is like, let's seek the Lord on this. See, there's a difference between seeking the Lord and not seeking the Lord and just going through the motions. Seeking the Lord is really going and seeking the Lord. It's not going, well, I've already kind of made my mind up what we need to do, and then I'm just going to check in with you, Lord, and ease my conscience. No, Lord, I'm going to seek you. What do you want to do? And I find the only way to get self out of the way from my personal self is to fast and deny my flesh. And that rids a lot of time of my preconceived notions of what the Lord wanted to do anyway. Moses seeks the Lord after all these years. Moses still just seeks the Lord. That blows me away. Blows me away. I love Proverbs 25, verse 2. I shared it with you on Sunday, but just once again, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search the matter out. That's the beauty of when we seek in the Lord. Because the process that takes place is you're seeking Him. Things start to change, and the things that normally start to change is ourselves, does it not? God says, okay, here it is. Come and get it. Check it out and see what I'll do. And you know what? I have never, ever been disappointed since I've been walking with the Lord in what He's wanted to do. Now, I've been disappointed in what my expectations were, and I thought what needed to be done. And, you know, I've never been disappointed in what God was doing. And I think we all feel the same way. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know. Guys, never lose the wonder of the Lord. See, a soft wineskin's flexible to the leading of the Lord. Now, really, no. Moses really was an old wineskin. He was 120 years old. And he's been out in the elements without sunscreen. In the wilderness. Okay? You know, he didn't have the great skin care that we have today. So imagine what he looked like. You know, think about that. He's flexible to the leading of the Lord. It's about what the Lord wants to do, not what we think we should do. Moses has walked long enough with the Lord that he learns he needs to ask the Lord, what do you want to do? I mean, think about that. And we act like, you know what we act like? You know when you were a kid and you wanted to do something, okay, but you didn't want to ask your parents because you didn't want to hear no. What did you normally do? Some of you are laughing. Oh, they're just going to say no. Well, yeah, it was probably something dumb, you know, and they're trying to protect us, right? You know, the Lord says yes, or He says wait, or He does say no. And if He says no, there's a very good reason. You know what the reason normally is? There's something way better He has planned. Something way better He has planned. Let's don't lose the wonder of Him. I mean, they just ask. They just ask. They're not demanding anything. They're just asking. And what does Moses do? Moses seeks the Lord and what he wants to do. And here's what the Lord's heart of the matter was. You know what? These girls are right. Incredible. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, the daughters of Ozel speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of the inheritance among their father's brothers and cause the inheritance of their fathers to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause the inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has a daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brother. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brother, then you shall give his inheritance to the relative closest to him in his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be to the children of Israel statute of judgment, just as the Lord commanded. These people were instrumental. The Lord used these guys to help change something. It's incredible. Now, on a side note, what the Lord says here will create another problem down the road, as we will see in Numbers chapter 36. But understand that. What the Lord says right now that may create what we think is a problem later on, He's already got that figured out as well. Because, you know, sometimes when we go forward and we're doing something with the Lord, and then, well, what are you going to do about this? I don't know. We'll wait till we get there, and then we'll see what the Lord's going to do about that. Like, we got to have it all figured out. There'll be additional rules in Numbers 36 for those folks who inherited land and then married someone else, and the father may lose in his inheritance, and we'll check that out later. But let's take this to heart from the example of these five daughters. Don't be afraid to take it to the Lord. And why not take it to the Lord, since we know this about our Lord? In Luke 11, verse 9 through 13, this is what Jesus said. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. You seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for a bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's our Lord. You know, am I going to give Jonathan, he asks for a bread, I'm going to give him a rock to chew on? No, Mama might get mad. Mess with her baby. I would probably do it to my brother. Not my son. Or an egg. Of course, in their culture, a scorpion would ball up like an egg or whatever. And, you know, here's an egg. No, it's really a scorpion. You know, I wouldn't do that. None of you guys would either. Here's one more thing we know about the Lord. Okay, listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was on all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we not want to approach Him on something? You know what, Tricia? You bless me by saying, you know what? I'm a little wigged out about this house situation. That blessed me. I was like, yeah, let's pray about that. When I asked, hey, is there anything we can pray about? You know, sometimes I think we think it is the big freak you out, scary stuff, when a lot of times the Lord cares just as much about that kind of thing right there. Hey, you know what? I understand, my precious girl, that you're stressing out about this, and I want to minister to you in such a unique way right now and give you some peace on it. You know, we prayed for Joan the other day. Her nose is running. She's like coughing up some serious hairballs, and she's just really miserable. You know, she's eyes watering, and you know, snots are flaring out and stuff. And you know, we're really concerned about all the mucus that's dripping on the carpet and everything. And you know what? We prayed for her. Oh, it's just allergies. You know what? You come to us, and you know, you got something really major that can't be taken care of, man, we'll lay hands on you. You know, we prayed for her. I mean, it's a bummer when your nose is constantly running, your eyes are watering. And what do you want to do? You want to just go lay down somewhere if you can get some sleep? We prayed for her. I mean, that's the body of Christ. God cares about that stuff. My son Jonathan, I shared this with a couple of you guys. I mean, for me to puke is just horrid. And when I puke, I don't want to do anything else. Jonathan pukes, hey, give me a sandwich, I'm ready to eat. Okay, I don't get that. But if his nose is running, I mean, he's, my no, my no, my no, my no, oh, my no. Jonathan's just running nose, son. That's not how the Lord treats us. That's just runny nose, suck it up. He cares. These two things alone should be enough to soften up an old hard wineskin again. George Matheson penned these words, "Oh, thou love will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give back thee the life I owe, that thy ocean depths it flow may richer, fuller be." Hey, man, let's take the example from these five daughters. Let's go where we need to go to get the answer. Let's be bold enough and trust and ask. And let's have faith. Let's be like Moses. And you know what? I don't have this thing all figured out. Let's seek the Lord. Let's seek the Lord and see what He wants to do. Let's be open to what the Lord wants to do. Okay, let's look at verse 12 through 23. All things must end and all things must begin. Moses' time is up. It's getting ready to go home. Joshua's time has come. And it's time for Joshua to step up. Look at 12 through 14. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go up into the Mount of Arim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you shall be gathered to your people, and Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my commandment to hallow me at the waters before their eyes." And you guys remember what happened there, right? It's still many months away before Moses will take the climb to go home, as we'll see in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Yet the Lord informs him, here his time is near. And here's a few things that I think we can take to heart at the end of Moses' life. Number one, and think about this just for a moment, as Moses got older, he walked closer with the Lord. Think about it. Moses is walking so close with the Lord that the Lord trusts him with the information that his time is up. Think about that for a minute. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, "Your eyes shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Wherever you turn to the right or the hand, turn to the left." He's walking that close to the Lord. Yeah, we all know our time is eventually up. But the Lord let him know, hey, you know what? It's getting really close. And here's a thought for later. What would be the first thing we would do if the Lord said, your time is near? How would we live our life? What would we do? You know, I know some folks, when they get to a certain age, have a bucket list. Okay? I get that. I probably won't do something like that. I'm just not wired that way. Okay, when people get, let's say, your age. When some people, when they get, I don't know. Okay, it's hence kick the bucket, you know. They want to do some things before they go out, like, you know, jump out of an airplane or, you know, some goofy stuff. So they got this list of 50 things or whatever that they're going to do, kick the bucket list. You know, run a marathon, do this. Okay, that's whatever. But here's the thing. Moses really didn't have a kick the bucket list, if you think about it. Number two, the Lord's grace and mercy in all this. Moses, you can't go in, but I'm going to show you the land. We should be in constant amazement of the Lord's grace He's poured into our lives. You can't go in, Moses, but I'm going to let you see the land. God's grace in our lives right now should blow us away. I love Paul's heart. He never forgot who he was before Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 17, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Never was blown. He never got away from God's grace that was poured upon his life. And neither did Moses. Okay. Not only do we experience God's grace now, but we'll experience God's grace in the future. Because you know the trick question. Yeah, Moses did eventually get to see the promised land at the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay, with the Lord Jesus, right? But here, think about this. Romans 8:28. "We know all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose." You know what? Some things that happen in this life are just going to happen in this life. But also understand this. One day when we go home to be with the Lord, the Lord's going to work it all out. It's going to be all good. It was for Moses. And how hard was that for Moses? Think about that. 40 years. I mean, this was not an easy ministry. I mean, these guys were... Oh, my God. I mean, come on, we've been looking at these guys for a long time. Come on, Lord, just this one instance, come on. You know? So two things we take from number one is Moses got older, he walked closer with the Lord. He walked so close with him that the Lord trusted him with information. Hey, your time's almost up. Number two, just God's great grace and His mercy and the fact that, hey, Moses, you're not going to go in, but I want to let you see it. And then finally, number three, yes, God is full of grace and mercy, but there's also repercussions of sin. It's a fact. Moses, you can't lead the people in. It's a fact. There are repercussions. And you know, I think all of us in this room have walked long enough with the Lord to understand that there's consequences for sin. Now, praise God that He walks with us through those consequences, and He undergirds us, and He takes care of us, but there's still consequences. You know, Proverbs 9, verse 10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." We're not to fear the Lord, we'd have respect for Him, right? But we ought to be walking close enough with the Lord to understand that, you know what, yeah, I'm covered by grace, but there may be some consequences if I step out knowingly on some things. Alright? Now, verse 15 through 17, Moses' response to what the Lord said is simply amazing. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all the flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like a sheep which has no shepherd." Remember the question I asked, what would we do if we knew our time was near? And the thing the Lord had placed upon my heart, would our thoughts be for ourselves or would our thoughts be for others? See, Moses says, who's going to lead them? They need a shepherd. And the Lord's folks need a shepherd, not a cowboy, shooting from the hip, riding in to save the day, singing happy trails to you. God's people needs a shepherd. And of course, Jesus is the head shepherd, the ultimate shepherd. John 10, verse 11 says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Mark 6, 34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." And is that not what Moses has done over and over and over and over again? He's laid down his life for these folks. He was moved with compassion. One more last thought on what a shepherd's heart looks like. Another picture from the head shepherd, not the under shepherd, not the pastor or the pastor teacher, but our Lord Jesus Christ, the head shepherd. Just one picture from the cross of his heart. In John 19, verse 25 through 30. If you want to know how much the Lord cares. Okay. If you want to know how much the Lord cares. "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to be to his home. And after this, Jesus, knowing all things were accomplished, that Scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel of sour wine sitting there, they filled a sponge with sour wine, put his sop on it, put it to his mouth, and when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." His last thought was for his mother. And Jesus is hanging on a cross. I mean, we've studied enough about crucifixion to know how intensely painful that was, not even to mention the fact the beating that Jesus took before he ever made it to the cross. See, our shepherd's thought is always for his sheep. Jesus' last thought, "I want to make sure you take care of my mother." That's a pastor's heart. Let's look at the guy that's going to replace Moses. And really, you're not replacing Moses. You don't replace people. Okay? Just that the story kind of goes on, does it not? Look at verse 18 through 23. And I love the fact that the Lord answered Moses and didn't leave him in a lurch. Okay, he says, "Hey, you got a concern? I want you to know who it is." And that tells me that Moses didn't know who it was. He had no idea who would be the guy that would eventually take over for him. He didn't know. And the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him at the judgment of the Urim. At his word he shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. He and all the children of Israel with him and all the congregation." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and sent him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation and laid hands on him, inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. You know what? Look at Joshua, the man the Lord raised up to continue his work. He's a very unlikely candidate. Remember, the Lord raises up people. People don't raise up themselves. The Lord does it. Moses had no idea who it was. Now, Joshua's been his assistant for like 40 years. And you might be thinking, of course, this would be the logical choice. Moses didn't think that way. He didn't know who it was. Matter of fact, Joshua didn't even really have an idea. The Lord called Joshua up. And understand this, Joshua did not ask. Joshua did not jockey for a position, make a case for himself before the leadership while he's the guy. Joshua did not demand. We don't hear anything from Joshua other than he served as Moses' assistant for like 40 years. That's it. That's all we hear. Verse 22 and 23, I think this is important as well. The leadership recognizes this is the Lord, and they lay hands on Joshua. Now, they're not transferring anything. They're just saying, "Hey, you know what? This is of the Lord. We agree it's of the Lord. We're going to pray, and this is what we're going to do." Now, here's the New Testament version of this thing. And I find time and time again, if you see something in the Old Testament, it's usually something consistent. You see some consistency. In Acts 13, verse 1, 2, 3, "Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, who were brought up before Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away." That's how it works. And you know what? If the Lord is calling someone to something, there's no man that's going to get in the way. The Lord raises people up. The Lord sends people out. That's how it works. Now, in business, how does it work? You work hard, you do this, and maybe you get a promotion. Or maybe you're the son-in-law of the owner, and then you get a promotion. Maybe the boss's kid, and then you get a promotion or whatever. The body of Christ, it's not about promotion. It's just kind of what you're called to do and what God forms you and creates you to do. That's it. It's not, "Well, I've been here, and then all of a sudden I'm here." That's not how it works. One last thought about Joshua. Just one last thought. He never thought he was the guy for the job. And think about that. Been the number two guy for Moses 40 years? Never thought he was the guy. And I'm going to tell you why I believe he never thought that. Listen to what the Lord told him when he started his new task in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses. Now from the wilderness of this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates and the land of the Hittites, the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land I swore to them.'" Then he tells him again, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to the law which Moses my servant commands you. Do not turn to the right, to the left, that you may prosper. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe and do all according as written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, good courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord wouldn't tell him to be strong if he thought he was strong, now would he? Joshua was weak. The Lord wouldn't tell him to be a good courage if he had all this courage. No, Joshua was freaking out a bit. I mean, he had some tough shoes to fill, did he not? It's amazing what the Lord does. This tells me something about Joshua's heart. He didn't have the heart of, here I am to save the day. Now it's my turn, stand back and watch me work. Hey guys, I'm taking things to a new level. Joshua's heart was, I have no clue how to do it. He's a soft wineskin. I need to be filled up. Joshua, don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. The Lord picked the right guy for the job. Picked the right guy for the job. And He always does. So what can we take home tonight? I'll pray this one thing. Let's not become a crusty, old, hard wineskin. We're not going to be filled up with new wine if we do. Let's choose to wash ourselves in the Word so that we can remain flexible to be filled up with new wine. Luke 5, verse 37 through 38. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. This is one of my favorite hymns. I love these words. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from me. Friends, that's a flexible wineskin type of heart. No agenda. Lord, what do you want to do? Fill me up to do it. And that's what God's looking for. That's it. Because at the end of the day, anyway, when it's all said and done, we're going to stand before the Lord. I mean, think about that. What an incredible blessing to stand before the Lord. What an incredible blessing. Let's pray and let's enjoy the Lord, okay? 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 Let's pray.